You forgot the first rule of remakes, Jill. Don't fuck with the original.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Don't F with the Original.
With Nicholas, I am the gaming correspondent for Idiomatic.
And I am Dimitri, webmaster of Idiomatic.com and movie critic. And in a preparation for the release of The Man of Steel, we are going to review the original movie, the one that started it all, Steel, starring...
Shaquille O'Neal.
No, we're not. We're not doing that. Instead, we're going to talk about Superman, the motion picture, the Richard Donner movie, 1978, I want to say.
We'll check after, because that's when we do our homework.
Exactly.
It's basically the story of Superman, a little boy that comes from the planet Krypton, grows up on Earth, has superpowers, and helps people out. And then he kind of rubs afoul of Lex Luthor, who has his evil plan of his own.
Which, in keeping with the rest of the series, for some reason, had to do with real estate. Like, I don't know what it is about movie Lex Luthor, but like the only scheme he has in mind is real estate.
Well, that's good money. It used to be, actually, it was pretty good money back then, so I guess, yeah.
Yeah, not so much now, though.
No, it's not.
What did you think about it?
I really enjoyed it, up until the action scene at the end. But I think it was well-crafted. You get the origin of Superman, how he grows up, why he becomes Superman, and then you see him, you know, do Superman-y stuff throughout the city. Special effects are kind of crummy, but they're good. They're pretty good for the time. His interaction with Lois Lane is fun. You know, they have fun together on screen.
It's so sexual without it being pervy. Like, 'cause all they do is, like, make sexual innuendos to each other when he's Superman, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes off sort of playful. It doesn't come off inappropriate for children or anything like that. It's really well done that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's because Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeves are so good in those roles. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, let's talk about Christopher Reeves for a second.
Yeah, it's a great job. You can really see a transformation from Clark Kent to Superman. You know, the charisma goes like way up, way down, depending on the character he plays. You really believe that. Yeah, those two people are not the same. And yeah. I could believe that.
Yeah, and it's a tough thing to say on because it's always been really stupid. Like, when you think about it, it's like, he puts his glasses on, he's Clark Kent, he puts his glasses off, he's Superman. It's like, how can anyone fall for it? But you watch the movie and you're like, no, I could fall for it with this guy. Totally could.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that he's massive, so, you know, that kind of, you know, he kind of stands apart. But besides that, you know, it's the actor can't shrink physically. Yeah. That'd be kind of, and Superman doesn't do that anyway, so it's fine.
No, and he almost kind of does in a way, because I think you nailed it with the word charisma, and that's really it. Christopher Reeves does something that I've seen no other actor ever do, which is change the level of charisma he projects on screen depending on the character he's playing, Clark or Superman, within the same movie. And just watching that on screen for me is utterly fascinating.
Yeah.
Margot Kidder, also a really interesting choice, because she's not, you know, Hollywood pretty by any means. Certainly not by 70s and 80s standards. She's really, you know, another kind of beauty, even if you want to call it that. She's sort of plain looking, to be honest.
Yeah, she is.
But, you know, charismatic, the quick wit, like the way she delivers the dialogue at rapid fire. She's very, very charming, you know?
Yes, she is.
Hmm. And I like that she projects a professional woman through and through. Like, you only spend about 5 minutes with her and everybody's running around. And you don't go like, oh, this is an office of people running around. You go, oh, this is an office of people running around. And she's the biggest workaholic of the bunch. Like, you get that right away just from her performance.
Yeah.
You know, something that I think, like, somebody like Terry Hatcher never quite really pulled off, you know?
She was terrible. Yeah. She looked good, but that was about it.
I don't think she was terrible. I think she was no Margot Kidder.
You know? No, she didn't have the presence. She didn't have the Lois Lane presence. She seemed like she was more like a secretary at the Daily Planet more than, you know, the main reporter.
Another thing I want to say about Margot Kidder, though, is she's also abrasive, but not in a way that makes you want to punch her. And that's a delicate thing for actors in general, but actresses even more, because I think the notion of a strong, independent, aggressive woman is, especially in the 70s, 80s, not something that's quite established yet.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of actresses get it wrong, and I think a lot of actresses get it wrong because there's not a lot of role models at that point for us to really sort of, okay, that's the image of that, you know? And even today, like Kate Bosworth, who played Lois Lane in Superman Returns, the Bryan Singer one.
Yeah.
Like, you sort of wanted to strangle her. You were like, wow, you're really just mean, you know? You're not projecting strength, you're projecting meanness. Whereas, like, you never get that problem with Margot Kidder.
No, you can really feel that she's a professional. She knows where she's going. That's what she wants. So, yeah, you know, she's really going for it. And she's not just being mean for the sake of being mean. She's just... She has a goal and she's driving towards it.
Yeah, exactly. She has great things to achieve and she doesn't have time for you.
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. So what do you think about bad guy Lex Luthor?
I gotta say, my least favorite casting element in that is probably Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I love Gene Hackman as an actor. I think he's terrific in a lot of roles. Lex Luthor is not one of them.
No. He's just very weak. He's such a... You know, it seems like Lois Lane could kick his ass the way he plays it in the movie. he doesn't have the presence that the other actors have. He's very underwhelming.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I think part of the problem also is the role. I think it's a very comedic take on Lex Luthor, which, yeah. I mean, I get it. They were trying to go light with it. You know, Superman, the Donner version, you know, it's not that far removed from Batman 66. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
That's a good point.
You know? But I think I can't take him seriously because, A, the character is just so droll and just, you know, nyuk, 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 nyuk. He's a nyuk-nyuk villain, you know?
I know.
And it's weird because I thought that was a problem, but then I saw Kevin Spacey essentially play the same role in Superman Returns, and I was like, but him, he's a nyuk-nyuk villain that I take seriously. So really, part of the responsibility is in Gene Hackman's performance.
That's a good point. Yeah, Spacey was pretty much the only good thing in that movie. So, you know, it's very memorable. Whereas this one, it's, you know, Hackman is pretty much the only bad thing in the movie.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
All right. So, my biggest problem with Richard Donner's Superman, even though I like it, I don't watch it very often, and it's because the beginning is so slow. It takes forever and a half for Superman to grow up and become an interesting character. Well, first of all, the scenes in Krypton are way too long.
Yeah, it's setting up the next movie, man.
It really is. You're right. So for the duration of that movie, because longtime listeners know how I feel about setting up the next movie in your first movie, yeah. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, especially at the beginning of the movie, which is weird. You know, yeah. You set the next movie maybe at the end, you know, 5 or 6 minutes or something, or, you know, but at the beginning, it's like, that's an odd choice.
And it's, and I don't like the idea of making Clark's real father that much of an influence on him. I mean, like, he has to be a good guy with good intentions who sends his son for a better life, because that's the American story. That's the immigrant story, you know? Like, a Superman is a representation of the ultimate American, you know? He's a guy from a foreign world, from the old world, that's about to die. Very American point of view on that. I'm sure Europeans would disagree with it, but it's an American myth. Bear with me. Gets, you know, goes to America for a brighter new life, a chance of survival and greatness. Mm-hmm. Gets adopted by people who embody the American values, starts to integrate the American values in his way of life, and becomes God for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? And so I understand that you want to establish that his genetic father is a really swell guy.
Yeah.
Like, you need to set that up so that it doesn't become too obnoxious, or it's like, no, they were evil people, but once he embraced America, you know, like, you don't want to do that.
That'd be terrible. That would be terrible.
But you don't need to spend fucking 45 minutes on that.
Yeah. Just knowing that his adoptive parents were good people would have been enough for me.
Mm.
You're right.
Yeah. And even then, you know, then you get the scene of, there's this really awkward scene when he's a teenager and he's running in front of a train and there's a little girl, Lois, who's in the train going like, what did I just see? And I'm like, are they setting up that, like, you know, if he had met Lois just a couple years earlier, he would be robbing the cradle. Like, I don't know what they're doing with that scene.
It's one of those coincidences you needed to put the character there for some... I don't know. I really don't know why they needed that to be Lois. It's weird. There's no point. They just didn't want to write another character, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Save money on the credits.
It's a different actress.
Good point. They saved nothing. They failed.
But it's just, it's and all these extra little bits, these extra little scenes, I don't see the point of killing his father either. Well, his adoptive father.
Yeah.
And making his mother a widow. It's sort of like, why? None of this really brings that much to it. I never understood why they keep killing his father in the Superman myth, like the adaptations of it, because in the comic books they either both his parents are dead or they're both alive. They never kill one and leave the other one alive, and it's I like them better when they're alive, because they can, you know, Superman can go back home, get some parenting advice from good old Heartland Americans. I like that idea. But in every movie they do that, like you kill the father, and even the Smallville TV show, you kill the father. It's like, why?
I don't get that, you know, especially since he doesn't go back to his parents anyway. Yeah. In the movie or in any of the other movies, as far as I remember, it's completely useless.
It really is, and that's the key word. It's useless. The Lois and the train thing is useless. The killing the father is useless. The over elaborate stuff about his genetic father is useless, and it slows down the pacing, because by that point it's like it's been 45 minutes and I still haven't seen Superman proper, or even Clark Kent proper.
That's a good point. Yeah, it really does restrain the time that, you know, he can do the Superman stuff in Metropolis, because after that, okay, he established Superman, and I really wish they would have spent more time on that part. And then you have the finale, which, you know, they should have spent even less time on the finale than the beginning, really.
Yeah, I understand that you sort of need a central conflict to tie the movie together, and every superhero origin story suffers from that. Like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man suffers from that greatly, where it's sort of like, here's Spider-Man's origin, and here's how he's going along life. Oh, this is really fun. Oh, yeah, and then Green Goblin shows up, they battle, and it's the end. It's like, where did he come from? And you have the same problem with Lex Luthor. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, Lex Luthor shows up in D5.
Well, at least Lex Luthor wants to be top dog, and then there's Superman that's going to be top dog instead of him.
Yeah.
I think that was what the movie said,
which is at the core of the character in the comic books as well. It's the idea that, like, he really resents this dude, like, because, you know, in the movie, he's sort of a con artist, so that's less interesting, but in the comic book, and at the core of his character, what makes him interesting is that he's a guy who genuinely started with small beginnings, was ingenious and industrious enough to rise to the top and become this great industrialist. And it's sort of like, oh, he also is the ultimate American.
Yeah.
Except that his road has sort of made him a little bit of a narcissist.
Yeah.
And now that there's this other top dog in town, he's like, wait. I'm the ultimate American. You're not the ultimate American. What the hell? And then they start duking it out, you know?
Yeah. I always thought also maybe that because Superman had it, you know, went the easy road because he has his powers just by being Superman, whereas Lex Luthor had to, you know, work his way up as well.
Maybe. Absolutely. That's certainly how he sees it. And the irony of it is that being Superman is actually harder, because it's sort of like Superman actually never cheated. Like, he never used his superpowers to become a better journalist than he is, or to get better grades, or to force his way to the top, which he could easily have done. And that's actually morally harder, which Lex Luthor never gets. Like, that's supposed to be the dichotomy. But since Lex Luthor starts off a con artist, you sort of lose that aspect.
That's a good point.
Let's get to that ending.
Yes. First of all, you know, Lex Luthor's plan is to destroy parts of California so that his new, you know, terrain that he bought can be great for real estate, because it's going to be next to the ocean. That plan would have worked better if he hadn't told Superman, and he had just done it.
He's suffering from Bond villain syndrome. Yeah, with that.
I know. I did not like the fact that they used kryptonite. I always thought that was a weak plot device. This kills Superman just because. I think it's a part of the planet Krypton.
It is a part of the planet Krypton, and it's an invention from the radio show, would you believe?
So basically, people used to live on Krypton. That didn't kill them. Now that they're on Earth,
the Krypton... Yeah, but it's it's a mix of the rock and the radiation from our sun that makes it deadly.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so then Superman saves California. Unfortunately, Lois Lane gets killed.
Yes.
So what he does is he flies around the Earth and goes back in time.
Yes.
Or he turns times backward. I'm still not quite sure about what it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the shot, like, a lot of people have arguments, like, did he just fly and turn left around the Earth and that allowed him to go back in time? And then the filmmakers came out and were like, no, it's just that if you notice, the Earth is spinning the wrong way because he's going back in time. It's just a representation of his time-traveling powers.
Okay. That's good, because, you know, if he turns back time, I always wonder, if he turns back time, he saves Lois, who's going to stop the missile? So apparently he goes back in time, and he saves Lois, even though that was forbidden to him, because, you know, he loves her. Mm. And then he goes back in the future, and it was very weak.
It's bad. It's a bad ending. And it starts a tradition in all Superman movies where it's like, how am I going to get out of this mess? By pulling out of my ass this superpower you've never heard of. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's annoying. And it's also, it's just sort of like, why don't you do that all the time? Like,
yeah. Well, he's forbidden to do it.
Yeah, but once you broke the rule, you know what I mean?
Good point.
Because now he looks like a prick in, like, Superman 2, where it's like, the Earth is going to be dominated by Zod. And he's like, I'm not going to go back in time, it's forbidden. It's like, but there's going to be slavery from the entire human population. I'm not doing it. But you did it before for Lois. Yeah, but you're not Lois.
Yeah.
Go to slavery. Like, now he's a dick.
It's a good point. Especially since he's the cause of those guys being freed, you know? It's like... Yeah. You ruined Superman 2 for me, which was actually a pretty good movie.
Actually, you know what? We got time. Let's talk about Superman 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so... that movie had a really crazy production, because it started as a Richard Donner movie.
Okay.
And then... the producers weren't happy with it.
Really?
Yeah, they really weren't happy with it. So they fired him, hired another director, and like, okay, you have this much money left. You have this many scenes shot. Do something with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, to that director's credit.
It works great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Three criminals from Krypton get freed close to Earth, and they realize they have superpowers, so they want to rule the Earth, and Superman has to stop them. Which is a great concept. You have superpowered being versus superpowered being, which is what a superhero movie should be.
Yeah, and three of them, which makes your hero an underdog.
Exactly. Although I did feel kind of weird having Superman punch on a girl, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, she's a superpowered girl, who cares?
Yes, you know, so they're kind of equal, so he's still beating on a woman. It's kind of...
Yeah, but if she's equal.
Yeah, okay. I'm still kind of the, hitting a woman for a guy is... kind of, I'm old fashioned, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm new fashioned. I still think hitting anyone is wrong. Let's get that clear, but yeah. But I don't think women or men is particularly problematic to me in the sense of like you shouldn't hit anyone, period.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna hit someone and you're in a situation of like life or death conflict, like don't get stabbed in the head because it's a woman doing it. Like defend yourself.
Good point. Good point. But yeah, the special effects for the fight scenes were pretty good. I guess they had spent the budget on those fight scenes first or something. Because, I don't know, when there's a mob that they think they killed Superman, so there's a mob trying to attack them, and they just start blowing, and you see everybody being blown away and everything moving. It's like, that's really well made, and that you know you really believe it. And that must not have been cheap, so I don't know how they did that.
What I love about this movie, and obviously it's shot by the same director, so it's a good reason, but it sort of keeps the same atmosphere as the first one. It's light, it's bright, you know, it's not 1989 Batman gothic, and it's not Bryan Singer X-Men sci-fi angsty. It's Superman, it's bright, it's happy, and yet the stakes are higher, the danger is much more present, but you're not bummed down by it. You just feel the tension without the darkness.
Yeah. Again, the ending.
It's superpower out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about that cellophane S that pops out also out of nowhere.
What was that all about? But hey, he reverses the polarity again, because that works all the time.
Yeah, well, although in that case, it was like, fair enough. It's sort of a neat trick, you know?
Yeah, yeah. you know, because he used Lex Luthor. He can find Lex Luthor, use this, you know, and we may be able to beat him. Lex Luthor, you know, betrays him as expected. Yeah. But, you know, Superman got kind of outsmarted them, so I like that part.
Yeah.
The part that was really weird was, like, the he tells Lois that he's Superman. Now he wants her to forget, so he gives her a kiss that makes her forget. That must have been quite a kiss there for her to forget that.
Yeah, the infamous amnesia kiss. Another power out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It makes me angry.
And actually, the first time I saw it, it was not quite clear to me. So I just thought that Lois was acting, pretending that she, you know, she didn't know he was Superman. And, you know, oh, Superman. Again, to him, oh, don't be jealous. I like you too, Clark. And it's like, I really thought that it was like Lois saying acting, pretending that she, you know. So it was really not clear to me. Again, because the power was not described earlier. So I did not know Superman was able to do that.
All right, now I'm torn because we got time. We could do the whole series, or we could just go through continuity and just sort of skip 3 and 4 because Bryan Singer erased 3 and 4 and made Superman Returns the next sequel.
Superman 3 and 4 were terrible anyway.
They really were bad.
So we want to try and keep this positive. So let's skip 3 and 4 because they're just, I don't know why they were made. Let's just say that. I mean, I guess
it's because Superman 1 and 2 made money. That's why they were made. And they no longer had Donner's underlying vision, you know. Yeah. So, and it, you know, that's what I always argue, that's what happens with superhero movies. The first one is pretty good, but it's bogged down by the fact that you have to tell the origin story and still make a climactic action sequence at the end, and they don't fit usually.
That's a good point.
And then the second one is free of all of that, and then becomes awesome.
Yes, yes.
And then when the movie is awesome, the producers goes like, ooh, we have a cash cow, and they start putting their grubbly little hands all over and go like, well, the third one should have this and that, and I always wanted to have this and that and that. And so the third one always ends up sucking because there are too many hands in the pot.
Yeah. Who the hell thought Richard Pryor was a good idea?
I think Richard Pryor would have been a good idea if he wasn't playing that character.
Yeah. It's like a computer genius. It was just out of place. And that's just us on the fourth one, too, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need Superman to, you know, get rid of the nukes. It's not the nations of the world that's going to, you know, bring about peace. It's Superman that's going to save us from ourselves.
Well, in fairness, that's the lesson he learns at the end of the movie, that he had no right to do that.
I guess.
So, in fairness, that's intentional.
Yeah, I didn't quite get him getting that lesson, but...
But he makes a speech about it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a good point. I sort of tried to forget most of that movie.
Didn't you? The Atomic Man that's like solar powered?
My favorite part about that is when they start fighting and they throw at each other the Statue of Liberty back and forth. And I was like, why? But like they always catch it at the exact same spot, letting you know that they never built more than that part of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, the torch, which basically the tension would just have it snap from the rest of that statue. But yeah.
Well, let's get to Superman Returns, which is a better movie than 3 and 4, but I have to say not a great movie. And for those wondering, Bryan Singer was supposed to do X-Men 3 and went like, yeah, well, I'll do Superman instead.
Yeah.
And he's a big fan of Richard Donner's Superman, so he decides to continue the Donner saga and do essentially Superman 3.
Yeah.
And boy, did he miss the mark.
Oh, yeah.
So the story with that is that Superman, after sleeping with Lois Lane in Superman 2 and then making her forget, decides to, well, that was a nice one nightstand. I'm just going to fly off.
Yeah.
To see Krypton, because what I like to do is sleep with a woman and then bolt.
Yep.
I am a role model. He comes back some 5 years later, I think is what they set
something
up.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because the kid's 4. And he's back and he realizes that Lois has sort of moved on. She's got a little kid. She has a relationship with Cyclops from the X-Men.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm sorry, but I claimed that vagina as mine, so I'm going to try to break them up.
Yep.
Which is like, again, role model.
Indeed. Hey, go for what you want is the lesson here.
Meanwhile, Lex Luthor is back. He's been essentially acting as a contestant from for the Bachelorette.
Something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, just being a male gold digger, or as a non-sexist person might call it, a gold digger.
Yeah.
And then starts his new real estate scheme, which is essentially the same as the first movies, except on a grander scale.
Of course.
So he has a rock that can create a big continent, but will destroy all the other continents, and that will make him
rich somehow.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how.
Well, people need a place to live. The people who survived, like, you know, were in planes when that happened or something. They're going to need a place to live, and that's where they're going to live, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not entirely, like, because you see his continents. Like, I'm not sure you can grow vegetation or feed your cows or do anything that will allow the human race to survive on that thing. I'm just throwing
and
it out there.
What is he going to do with the money anyway?
And besides, it's like, you know, if that were really to work, like, the people who would survive would just go onto the island, find you, and kill you. Like, they wouldn't go, like, I would like to buy a piece of land from you. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's the story. And I have so many issues with it, but let's start with yours.
Well, besides the moral things that you talked, you know, in the beginning, this is a superhero movie in this era, so you expect there to be fun action scenes.
Hmm.
All he does is lift things. That's the only thing he does throughout the whole movie. He lifts heavier and heavier and heavier things. And some of them he lifts while flying, and he grunts. I don't know what the physics of lifting something while you're flying is, but he grunts when he lifts a plane. It's really hard for him. And then eventually he lifts an island, and it's about as hard the island as this with the plane. And, you know, they're kind of, you know...
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing that bugged me most about the grunting. It's sort of like, wait a minute, why did you grunt for the airplane? Or even like the globe, like that's the one that's probably the lightest of the bunch, you know?
Yeah.
You can't grunt for a globe and then go like, I'm going to lift the continent.
Yeah, it reminded me of the second Hulk movie where all they did was punching, but yeah, except here, all he did is lift. I want more from my superhero, especially somebody like Superman that has many superpowers. You can have him do many, many things, not just lift.
Yeah, and we're back to another Superman movie where he doesn't have anyone to face, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
What is Lex Luthor going to do, you know? He's a human being. He doesn't have a super suit or anything like that. So on a physical level, it's kind of boring. And I'm not saying that you need to make Lex Luthor super strong or you need to have a cosmic threat or anything, but like, have Lex Luthor control some weapons from a distance so that Superman gets to do things and use his powers or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, his heat vision to shoot down the weapons, or your super breath or something, super speed to get behind the weapons and stuff like that. That would have been interesting.
Mm.
You know, but instead, no, just, go lift this thing.
But my biggest problem with this movie is that it's so dire. It's sort of like, it's Superman. He's like the symbol of American hope. He's awesome. It should be bright and fun. And he's like always like, I don't have Lois. I'm kind of jealous that I don't have a son. Well, maybe you shouldn't have left, Jackass. But
yeah, pretty much.
And it's like, it's all dark. And I'm like, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the people. I think I'm Christ. And he falls like and takes the crucifix position. I'm like, wow, that's heavy-handed. And it's
so at least he didn't come out and say, you would know me in your world as Jesus, you know?
Yes, that's true. He is a little bit subtler than Aslan. But it's just so dark, and the only fun part is Lex Luthor and his friend there, the girl who's played by this great character actress who's great for improv, mm-hmm. So can really bounce off Kevin Spacey's lines. They're really good together, but it's sort of like the beacon of brightness and hope shouldn't come from the villains trying to destroy the Earth. Like, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, when you're rooting for the villain, the movie failed.
Mm.
You know, it's not just that you have to be entertained, because, yeah, you know, if you just watch the movie part, it was an entertaining movie. But I don't think that was the point of the movie, that Singer said, you know, I'm going to make this movie so that people will be entertained by Lex Luthor. No, you were supposed to, you know, be rooting for Superman.
Yeah.
So it's complete failure as a movie.
Yeah, no, it's just too dark. And honestly, like, at the end, the big lesson that Superman learns is like, maybe I shouldn't break up a family. Like, no, really? Hey, thanks, dude. Like, it took you an entire 90-minute movie, or actually more than that. Like, it took you an entire 2-hour movie to learn that? Really?
Yeah. All right.
Ugh. And here's the thing. That leads us to Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Directed by Zack Snyder, produced by Christopher Nolan of The Dark Knight fame, and also written by David S. Goyer of The Dark Knight fame.
Okay. The Dark Knight is the good one, so I have hope.
But it looks a little bit dark as well. Like, it looks really dire, you know?
Well, again, Batman was great, so they're thinking maybe, you know, it was great because it was dark.
Mm.
So they're trying to add the same thing to Superman. Like you said, like, the first Superman was kind of goofy because it was kind of taking on the 60s Batman.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, they're kind of, okay, well, we did dark thing that worked great, so let's do something dark again, and we'll see how it goes.
But can Superman withstand darkness? Darkness, not dark side. I find it goes against the concept of Superman. I think you should be bright and fun.
Yeah, it goes against the costume. You watch Superman, you see those bright red and blue colors, and you're like, you're supposed to be, you know, this is awesome, this is happy, you know, happy, colorful. Not, you know, super depressing. No, he's wearing this costume as a symbol, and you're supposed to, you know, see hope in it. Not see, you know, oh man, this is so depressing.
Yeah, no, if you watch a trailer, and Chris wrote a really interesting piece about his reaction to the trailers, you can find it at idiomatic.com. His qualms with it are a little bit more philosophical, but I'll go into something a little bit more down to earth about it. Yeah. But there's this scene where Clark, as a child, saved a school bus that was, you know, drowning or something like that. That fell into a lake or something, and he saved all the kids. And there's a mother who comes into the Kent house and goes like, "My son saw what your son did." And then it cuts to the father.
Why is she angry?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's like, "I saw what your son did. He saved my son's life and other kids. How dare he? How dare he? He must have done it while being homosexual." I don't know.
Oh my God.
Shut up. Oh. No, like, it's Kansas, but
yeah, I guess, yeah.
Now, in fairness, you know, because neither of us have seen the movie at this point when we're recording.
Yeah,
it is a trailer, and one thing you got to keep in mind in trailers is that they cut up the thing. You're only getting a glimpse of the full conversation, but and then it cuts to the father talking to his son, and his son is just going like, "What was I supposed to do? Let the kids drown?" And goes like, "I don't know, maybe." Wait, what? It's like, and I don't know that I'm prepared for a Superman that asks questions like these and answers them that way.
No, to be fair, it's his father. It's kind of his father that has a moral compass that's kind of skewed, not Superman.
Oh, no, that is hopefully. True. That is true. But it's sort of like, really? Papa Kent's a jerk?
Yeah, maybe he should die in this movie.
Anyway, if you have questions, comments, you want to show your opinion about the Superman saga, or your thoughts about Man of Steel, again, not a sequel to the Shock movie.
Thank God.
Write us at mail@idiomatic.com or post a comment at idiomatic.com. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. We're also on iTunes. We're everywhere.
Awesome.
See you next time.